What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health with me, George Bertino, stepping in for Gabby Allen, who is on Operation Love in sunny South Africa. A little bit about myself, if you weren't here last week, online coach, BSc rehabilitation, previously worked in sport for 5 years, and a health and fitness professional for over a decade. Guys, today we're going to be talking about health and fitness, and we're going to be supporting you through your fitness journeys. Each week we'll be joined by a range of guests to dissect the latest fitness trends, separating facts from myth and advising you on achieving your health goals. Today, coming up on the show, we will be joined by Efren Mason-Clark, professional footballer for Coventry City, and Lucy Kirkham, life coach. So, I just thought we could potentially start the conversation today with a topic that is probably on lots of people's minds, is the new year. And, Danny's here. Okay, we've got Danny with us. So joining us today, everyone, is going to be Danny Kerr, professional football, professional rugby player, sorry, for Harlequins and ex-international. Danny, good morning. How are you? Danny, hello, can you hear me?
We can indeed, yeah. Oh, is that? I was expecting a Maddie.
Yes, we're live in the studio. I'm George. I'm going to be asking you questions today, Danny.
Cool. Hello, mate.
How are you today, first of all? You well?
Good, thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you very much. So, first of all, obviously, Six Nations coming up this weekend. I'm assuming you'll be excited to be watching.
Yeah, can't wait. I'm partnered up with Green King. Green King has celebrated 25 years of the Six Nations, which is, for me, the best tournament in the world. And they're celebrating that by giving a free pint giveaway in all participating Green King pubs. All you have to do is go to the bar, say space for a pint, and you'll be handed a free pint to settle in and watch the Six Nations this Friday and Saturday.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I mean, great nectar of choice as well, Green King. What are you thinking about the Six Nations? Do you think it's looking strong this year? Do you think there's good team selections or squad selections? How are you feeling with it all?
I think the beauty of it is any team could beat anyone in this tournament. There's not an out-and-out favourite. There's three or four teams that you would say all six of them are going to want to win it, but three or four realistically that might in France, Ireland, Scotland and England, and Wales and Italy are no easy games. Wales are struggling a little bit form, but they'll back themselves against anyone, and Italy are causing teams a lot of problems. So it's got a bit of everything in every single game. So it's, for me, it's why it's the best tournament in the world.
Yeah, and I can definitely agree with you. We've always got entertaining games, and as the years have progressed, it's obvious that Italy have become more competitive. Scotland have definitely come on leaps and bounds, and I guess the whole pack have kind of met in the middle, really. Right, I had a question that I've been thinking about for a little while. England obviously only pick players that play in the UK. Do you feel that that's like a big hindrance for England in the Six Nations and all other competitions? Obviously, there's some big names that are now in France, so, or abroad.
Yeah, I think it's always been the way with England that they want England want their best players in England playing for our English clubs. You know, then the coaches have more access to them, easily brought into to camps and etc. and get to see them a little bit more. I think it's always been a good thing. I do. I agree that obviously there are some great players that are eligible to play for England that have gone over to France to play there, which is brilliant. And look at the South Africans; they pick from all over the world, and they've won the last two World Cups. But I still probably sit on the side of the fence that I'd like our English talent playing in our league. We want our best England players playing in our league to promote that, and I think that'll create a better England team. So that's kind of the way I sit with it.
So more of a sense of togetherness than go earn potentially more money abroad, because obviously we all know back in the day when France started pumping loads of money into lots of clubs and lots of players' salaries, it was very enticing. An individual like yourself, I don't know if you had many offers from France, I'm sure you would have. Is there a particular reason why you never went abroad to France, or do you feel it's because you wanted to wear the rose on your chest and be proud of the country you play for?
Yeah, I always wanted to play for England, so I never wanted to take myself out of that situation. For me, representing your country in anything is the pinnacle. It's the dream. It's what you work so hard for. So, especially to represent your country in the Six Nations, it's just a special feeling about it. I think you really can resonate with fans watching at home or in the stadiums or in a pub. You know, everybody gets behind you and you can really feel that as a player. So for me, yeah, there was a couple of opportunities to maybe play abroad, but I always wanted to wear that England shirt for as many times as possible. So that's why I always stayed.
Well, you did it over 100 times, right? You had over 100 caps.
Yeah, 101, the Dalmatian.
Nice, lovely, good number. So now you are a retired international. How are you feeling? Do you feel it's going to be a little bit strange this year? Are you feeling, you know, that the energy in the camp's going to be good? Where's your head at with that?
Yeah, I'm just really excited to be a fan. Generally, first time, I can properly enjoy myself and immerse myself into being a fan and supporting some great rugby. Obviously, with an English hat on, I'd love the England boys to go all the way and win the tournament. But as just a fan of rugby in general, it's such a unique tournament that is about to start on Friday night. And I can't wait to be immersed in it all.
Nice. So you spoke about, obviously, how the standard is so kind of not mixed match anymore. It's a lot closer together. Can I have your predictions for the tournament, you know, first and last, or you know, where do you think everyone's going to sit? If you're a guessing man.
Yeah, if I was a guessing man, I feel like France are the favourites. They're the team to beat this year. Antoine Dupont, for those that don't know him, he's the best player in the world. He plays my position, scrum half, so I'm always kind of rooting for him. As a fellow scrum half, that he is the best in the world. He went and did the sevens last year for France, won an Olympic gold in sevens. So he didn't play in the Six Nations last year for France. He's back in that squad now as their captain. He's an unbelievable rugby player that can get that team fully firing. Ireland won the last two. They're going for three in a row, which is something that's never been done in the Six Nations. Mm-hmm. So they're right up there as well. And then I put England and Scotland right in the mix. They can get things right. Getting a bit of momentum, maybe get a first early win, especially for England going away to Ireland. It's going to be really tough, but if they can manage to get a win there, the momentum shift that would give that team, the confidence that would give that team is massive, and they've got a frighteningly good squad to compete with everyone.
Yeah, so with what you've just said, do you think Mauro Toji is, you know, going to rise to the challenge as captain? Do you think he's going to be able to lead? And we obviously know he leads by example on the pitch. He's a phenomenal athlete and rugby player. But, you know, how do you feel with that?
Yeah, certainly hope so. Yeah, obviously it was a bit of a shock, I think, to everyone that the captaincy got changed. Jamie George, I thought, you know, I know firsthand from being in there with him, did an unbelievable job as England captain. It's actually it's a really tough job. It's a 24/7, 365 days a year job, on and off the field. You've got so much work to do. I know Steve made the decision, which is a big decision, to change it and giving it to Mauro. And I'm really excited to see where Mauro and Steve can take this team. You know, Mauro is, like you say, he's one of the best players in the world in his position. He's been in that camp for best part of 10 years now, driven to want to be the best and want to make England the best, and I'm sure they'll be raising some standards in there.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Okay, a little bit off topic, but obviously Ireland going for the triple, right? So three tournaments back to back. Do you feel that there is a big correlation with them joining their leagues with, obviously, South African teams? Do you feel that that's kind of a big thing? Do you think that's had a big play on, obviously, the standard that they're now playing at?
I think any time you play against a South African team, you have to raise your standards because, you know, absolute rugby mad country, producing some unbelievable rugby players year in, year out, back-to-back World Cup winners. So every time you get to play against them and test yourself against the best, you have to improve. You know, Ireland, only four provinces that play in there, and they make up that Ireland squad. So loads of these boys play together week in, week out. It's mainly, you know, a big part of that team is the Leinster team. So a lot of them are playing together every single day, week in, week out, sprinkled with a bit of Munster, Ulster and Connaught. But yeah, there's a lot of consistency there. They're all sort of centrally contracted, which means the unions get their hands on them quite a lot, which I think can only help. And they're able to do that because there is only four teams. So they're a brilliant team, looking to go three in a row, which has never been done before. Their head coach obviously being away, focusing on the Lions and Andy Farrell, but Simon Easterby stepping up with the players with a lot of points to prove this year. Being a Lions year, everybody, there's just that added bit of spice to every game as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, it makes it so much more competitive. Everyone's playing for that jersey as well. What match are you most excited to be, you know, watching? Is it that England-Ireland game, obviously, coming up? Or is it maybe going to be more England-France? Because there's always been a bit of a rivalry there.
I think it's hard to pick out one because of the beauty of the Six Nations. It just delivers week in, week out, every single game. There's something riding on every game. So I'm not going to look any further ahead than the first weekend. Friday night, obviously kicking off France versus Wales, and then Saturday, Ireland versus England, Scotland versus Italy. Three massive games to whet our appetite, which in the start of an incredible tournament. So I can't wait for all three. Sorry if that's a bland answer.
No. This is your opinion. That's great. Any tips for the viewers at home, or any player you feel they might be looking out for, any player of the tournament you might have your eye on? Obviously, you've mentioned Antoine Dupont, but, you know, for anyone else that isn't maybe too well hearsed with rugby and obviously the Six Nations, anyone you might be keeping a close eye on?
Yeah, anybody sat at home watching the games, or if you managed to get yourself down to one of the pubs to settle in, Ange Capuozzo is a player who plays for Italy. Wonderful rugby player. Doesn't look like a rugby player because he's quite small in stature, but his feet are incredible. Such a talented player to play. He's the type of person that you're watching in the pub, he gets you off your feet. You know, he's the type of guy in the stadiums, you hear the seats clanging against each other, because when he's got the ball, people stand up and watch him. He's a special type of player. Watch out for him in Italy. For France, obviously Antoine Dupont, anytime he's anywhere near the ball, which will be a lot, so things are going to happen. And for England, the 9 and the 10, Alex Mitchell and Marcus Smith, hopefully they're going to play with some unbelievable pace, and those two will be right in the middle of that.
Yeah, nice. Any advice for any young aspiring athletes or future rugby players looking to have a long and healthy career like yourself?
Yeah, the biggest thing I can say is you've really got to immerse yourself fully in it. You've got to want to be the best. You've got to work incredibly hard. Hopefully then opportunities will come your way. And then when those opportunities come, you've got to be ready to grab them. So the biggest thing I've learned in my career is perspective is a massive thing. Rugby and professional sport in general, I think, is a massive emotional roller coaster. If you can try and find something that keeps you level, so the highs aren't too high and the lows aren't too low, then that will set you along your way pretty well. But the biggest thing, I think, is find the thing that you enjoy the most and go for that.
Amazing. Well, Danny, thank you so much for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Thanks, mate. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, mate.
And right, guys, now we're going to be moving on to exercise of the week with myself. I've decided to pick a hip thrust / glute bridge variation. Just an exercise that is super, super incredible for glute growth and glute development. Obviously, the glutes are probably one of the biggest muscles in the body, and they're super, super important for female aesthetic, female shape, but also performance, not just for lifting heavy weights, but also for if you are an athlete. Okay, so obviously you've got a glute bridge, or you've got a glute bridge or a hip thrust. You're looking at loading weight onto the hip crease. You can look at getting a towel, a pad to protect your kind of hip area, as you've got quite bony landmarks, and most of us will. And you're really looking at a really controlled movement. You can really focus at, like I said last week, regressing and progressing the exercise. You can start with a dumbbell, you can start with body weight, you can use a glute band around your knees where you're having to drive your knees out, which is causing even more activation. You can look at isometric holds at the top. You can also look at an explosive movement, hold at the top, and then a slow eccentric. So looking at eccentric and concentric, which is the up and the down movement. I'd say if you aren't able to do that or you're not confident, you can do that on a Smith machine. You can do it with a dumbbell, as I previously mentioned, or you can do it as just a glute bridge. Now, coming up after the short break, we're going to be having an interview with Ephraim Mason-Clark, who is a Coventry City footballer. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Football Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my SAS sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either, because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, "What the fuck are those?" And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen, they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, "John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets?" I went back to the bloke, said, "Yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do." What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
Guys, welcome back. This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau, in for Gabby Allen. Up now is Ephraim Mason-Clark, professional footballer with Coventry City. Ephraim, how are you, man?
All good, all good. yeah, feeling all good. Hope you're well as well.
Yeah, I'm good, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Right, so why don't we start with your career journey? Because unlike some players, you've had a nice, exciting career journey. Yeah, where did you start and at what level and kind of where you're at now?
I'd say it all started, playing in a pitch at my grandma's house in Camberwell. But then I obviously had a lot of older cousins and older people in the estate that would take me to loads of clubs. Like my first club I remember was Dulwich Hamlet.
Nice.
Yeah, and then from Dulwich Hamlet, it was like Tolls Hill, which is down the road from Dulwich Hamlet, to be fair. And then from there, it was like tryouts in academies at Fulham, Chelsea. And then, yeah, it led me up to signing for Barnet.
Nice. So you went National League. That's where you first signed. And then, yeah, tell us about your journey from there. You got bought, right?
Yeah. So it's a weird one because from playing at Barnet, I was there for a while. Signed when I was 11 and left when I was just about to turn 22. So I'd definitely say I was there for a while. But, I wouldn't change it for the world, really, now that I look back on the career. Just so much you learn from that level, I think you kind of take it for granted whilst you're in it, and you don't really understand what, the pains of playing the men's game until like you're in it. But now that I look back on it, it's really helped in my career and the way it's going right now. So yeah, I would never change my experience.
Nice, good man. And obviously you started playing from a young age. So, but tell us about how life's been since you moved to Coventry. That was nearly a year ago, right?
Yeah. This summer.
It was this summer. Yeah, okay.
This summer. So, it's been really good. You know, you could definitely feel the step up in level, both on and off the pitch, is higher. No disrespect to Peterborough in any way, but you just... there's this levels from League One to Championship, the standards in every day, whether you're in the gym to being on the pitch, is just standards is always higher. And just the area is lovely as well. Coventry, I didn't realise how, not that I didn't realise, but Coventry is obviously a big club and
yeah,
the fans that they got there is amazing. So yeah, I'm enjoying every moment of it at the moment. So it's been good.
Good, man. I'm really happy for you. And like, how are you balancing like social life with the demands of sport? Like, how do you find moving to a different town or different city? Like, how do you find you juggle your social life?
I think I juggle it perfectly fine. Obviously, I have my missus and my little one that kind of keeps me grounded.
Nice.
So that's probably like the best thing that's happened to me, like off the pitch. Obviously, we have the club liaison that's just made everything a breeze, like where we live and the area is just really nice. The people are really nice. And it gives me the same feeling I had when I was at Peterborough. So it's been really, really positive, both for me and my family,
Good. I'm really glad, man. And what about downtime between games and training? Is it like... I know how busy the Championship can get with all the games and all the cup games. Like, what's it like, juggling your downtime and whatnot?
At the start, it was a bit different. Difficult, in the sense of the high demands, especially when you have a little one, going home and having to switch from the professional athlete to dad.
Yeah.
Was a bit of a, not a shock, but it was... not as intense as it was at Peterborough. But yeah, downtime for me is really like playing games. Massive fan of like just playing Call of Duty and stuff like that. I think being able to just switch off always helps. Movies, series. And to be fair, like, not that I wasn't reading before, but I've kind of found myself reading a little bit more than I would usually back in the day.
Nice.
Just as a pastime, really. And yeah, that just keeps me kind of level-headed and just chill out and kind of switch off from football for a little while.
Yeah, well, you need that divide, don't you? Because obviously you're training so hard throughout the week. Yeah. Your games, they come thick and fast. You need that switch off. And you obviously have the responsibility of a dad and a partner. There's so much to juggle. You want that divide. So that's nice you got a good balance with that. Right, so...
I know from personally working with you that you are a strong athlete. So I kind of know the answer to this, but like, is there a lot of off-field training that you do? Are Coventry big fans of S&C? Like, do you do much outside of the club? You know, just tell us about your routine with that.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely. I love doing stuff outside of football, but yeah, when you speak about the S&C at the club, it's top. It was like that at Peterborough as well. Like, just doing activations in the morning. Like, everybody's kind of in the gym doing like their own programs, which is just making sure that everybody's just available. I think that's the best word for it. Just availability, just making sure that we're just in the gym and looking after certain parts that as a group you can't really look into, but as an individual you kind of work on those things. Yeah, so the S&C has been amazing, really, personally, and I've enjoyed it because, yeah, with the demands and the speed of the game, you just need to do those little 1% to just help you be able to just play at the level you want to play. As a footballer, you're always going to have knocks and bruises, but it's just making sure that other places in your body are kind of bulletproofed so that you're just ready for the higher demands, really.
Yeah, and I get that. Okay, sweet. So you've got a hamstring injury at the moment, or you're recovering from it?
Yeah, recovering right now, yeah.
Okay, nice. So, like, explain a little bit how, like, I know obviously you've got a great S&C team, and, like, I know that Coventry have a great rehab team as well. How are you finding out the whole process? Like, is the schedule very different to a, you know, a training player and a match day player?
Yeah, 100%. I think, to be fair, when it first happened, I was fortunate enough to, you know, get a scan and get the results as soon as possible.
Quickly, yeah.
So that we was able to kind of diagnose what my injury was and had a plan straight away, which was perfect. And yeah, like when you're injured nowadays, it's not nowadays as if I'm some old player, but in a sense of you're in like every day, like even when the boys are off, obviously, of course, they travel a lot, so they need that downtime, but you don't really notice that when you're playing or you're in the squad.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're just in the gym every day and you just do it. I wouldn't say you're relaxing. It depends how serious your injury is as well. When it's kind of muscular, you're kind of working in a, just working to get the muscle itself stronger than it was before.
Yeah.
So we're just in every day and stuff like that. But it's been really positive at the moment.
Good. I'm glad. Are you back on the pitch doing a little bit of running at the moment, or are you still gym based?
No. So last week I was gym based, going on the Ultra G machines and stuff. Nice. But what's the day today? So Friday I would have been back on the grass, and I've been on the grass.
Okay.
Last 3 days, to be fair, which is really good.
Nice, man. That's good. I'm glad. Right. Diet. We all know diet is super important. You know, this is a health and fitness radio talk show. So for me, you know, how important is diet for you as an athlete, someone who's trying to perform at their peak level?
I think for me, it's always been kind of at my forefront in my recoveries after game days and stuff. But it's, yeah, definitely the most important. Fortunate enough that my normal just day-to-day eating schedule, when I give it to like our nutritionist, it's like not perfect, but it's just like,
lots I'm of greens. Right. Happy with what you're eating.
Happy with what I'm eating. But of recent, especially at Coventry, I found like you're finding out different preparation for certain days is it's like you can't just eat the same things. I've noticed that before game days, we do a lot of like carb-based foods.
Lots of slow-release carbs. Yeah.
And then after games, it's just like where the protein intake increases. And obviously, I knew the knowledge before, but I didn't take it as serious until being at this level and noticing it within my performance, how important like food was. Because my hydration's always been really good, but food was like the thing that I had to kind of work on of recent. And to be fair, I'm feeling good. And yeah, it's been good. It's been really good.
Good. So I'm assuming post-match shakes and then a meal, or is it obviously second you come off, S&C team or rehab team or physio team are giving you, you know, your protein shake if you're coming off or whatever. I'm assuming that's what you guys get.
Yeah. As soon as like you come off or you've played 90 or whatever, there's people that have those stuff kind of ready, which is obviously a big jump from, no disrespect, but like the level at Barnet to where I'm at now is just it's so serious, the things that we do off the pitch that help when we're on it, really.
Yeah, of course. And like you said earlier in the conversation, 1%ers, if you think about it, there's about 15 to 21% that actually make a massive difference long term for longevity of your career. So at the end of the day, football careers can be short if you don't start from a young age, and you want to play as late and as old as you can, and you want to be able to enjoy yourself because it's an amazing job and so many people want to be able to do it, right?
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure you've been asked this before, but did you got the chance to work under Frank Lampard, right?
Yeah. So I'm working with him now.
Yeah, obviously he's there, right? So you know, what's it like working under him? He's such a legend in the English game and obviously in the English world. Great manager, did really, really well in the Championship. Like, just tell me a little bit about him and how you enjoy it.
Yeah, like you said, like the first day we met him, it was like you obviously heard the talks of him coming in and he was just like, okay, whatever. And then it's like the first day he came in, it was just like, the word isn't starstruck, but it's just like, this is, like you said, a legend in not just English football, but football in the whole world. So at the start, like the first day or so, not even the day, the first morning, it was more of like, wow. And then it's like, you just switch off from being a fan to, this is like the gaffer now.
It's the gaffer, it's the boss,
yeah. Yeah. So that whole transition was, for me personally, it was quite quick from being a fan to that's gaffer. And you know, the way he wants to play, it's just like any other manager, really. Once you go past that little bit of like, wow, this is a football legend.
Yeah. Wow. You then remember it's work and it's kind of like, of course, this guy knows his stuff. There's so much I'm going to be able to learn from him.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, that's not many players are fortunate enough to work with these super, super famous and super talented ex-footballers.
Yeah. So, yeah, just having those, them giving your little, you know, the 1%ers of stuff that they've experienced in their career, it always helps you as a player.
Nice, man. Well, Ephraim, thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate
and,
having me.
We will talk soon. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, man. And we'll speak soon, man. Have a lovely evening. Will.
Thank you, Andrew. You take care. Cheers, man. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye.
And again, a massive thank you to Ephraim Mason-Clark. Coming up after the break, we're going to be having a chat with Lucy Kirkham.
Fubar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The Fubar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, The thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We've got Georgia Harrison, my Yes I Yes sister. That's when I thought shit's got real.
Well, I got out, didn't I, with my little earmuffs on and my scarf. And they didn't show that either because obviously I can't put everything in. But he looks at me and he goes, what the fuck are those? And he grabbed my earmuffs and he threw them across the New Zealand landscape. I thought, that's a fucking liberty. £3 from Sheen they were. I was still in my Sheen Queen era.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, John McDonald, has he paid for his tickets? I went back to the bloke, said, yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do. What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau, in for Gabby Allen. Joining me now is Lucy Kirkham, self-love and mindset coach. Lucy, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, just tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So a little bit about my journey is I started off quite a few years ago now, having like a big 180 life flip, had a breakup, moved back in with my parents, you know, a big life-changing circumstance. And I was like, I need a life coach. I wasn't really sure what one was, but I was like, I need one. I ended up having a life coach for 12 months. I went on a whole journey of personal development, looked at all my flaws, did a load of like deep healing, and it inspired me to like help people, and I was like, this is what I want to do. And so I took a course and qualified as a life coach, and now I help women go through exactly what I went through.
Okay, nice. So explain to me exactly what is a life coach, because I, from the words, I get it.
Yeah.
But kind of give me as much as you can on, you know, what a life coach is.
Yeah, I get this question all the time.
Sure.
And I wasn't sure, like I said, what one was. But I suppose it is kind of a coach of life. I look at all areas with my clients. It's a question-based like process. So it's not somebody telling you how to live your life and telling you what to do. It's asking the right questions. If somebody's feeling a little bit stuck, the questions can just like light someone up, and then they'll have like an aha moment. They'll be like, okay, right, now I can see the path more clearly. It's quite future focused, okay. A lot of goal setting, a lot of mindset, and bringing to life kind of what you want.
Okay, nice. So what is normally the main issue that your clients or people will reach out? I'm assuming you've, you know, had people reach out through social media, through referrals and whatnot, but what would you say the main issues you would deal with is?
So I've got a program called Lost to Found, and it is for women that feel lost. I feel like lost is such a powerful word, and when you're feeling that way, there's no other way to describe it other than the word lost. So kind of stuck in a negative mindset, comparison on social media, feeling like you've just got no motivation, no get up and go, but you have a feeling within you that you're worth something more. And like that's your little fire inside that thinks, okay, I want to change this.
Okay, okay. And how would a life coaching session work? So would you start with, I don't know, I'm just intrigued. So
I mean, everyone's, I suppose, different. You can have face-to-face sessions. A lot of my sessions are on Zoom. And I do a six-week program. So we start mapping out on week one the whole different areas of your life. So like finances, relationships, career, health, wellness, friends, fun, like all the pillars of what make up your life. And then we evaluate them to see which areas are lacking, see which areas you're really thriving in. And then we take steps forward to improve that. I also do a lot of letting go of the past, just to see what's kind of the root cause of why you're feeling, what beliefs that you've got that are holding you back. I know a lot of people carry around really limiting beliefs with them that they just they're holding them back in ways that they don't realise. So I do a little bit of work on that. And then once we've uncovered like the root cause of stuff, we just sail forward then into like goal setting, kind of thinking about what you want your future version to look like. And then we adopt that, like, that future version of you into small steps. So what would she be doing? What would her mindset be? What would his or her mindset be?
Okay, so like positive reinforcement, looking forwards into the future, kind of helping build someone up with their confidence. Would you say it's like a hype man, hype woman, kind of like, you know, kind of bringing the energy, bringing the positivity?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I definitely would say, like, I always say to my clients when they're considering work with me, there's two sessions that are a little bit deeper, but the rest is like, I want you to look forward to the call, and I want you to finish the call feeling like your best self and feeling empowered.
Love that. Do you have like a community with everyone else included, or is it kind of very segregated and split up with
the sessions that I do are one-to-one with the clients, but then I do host women's workshops where, God, I would love to have all the women together, just empowering one another. I think people are so frightened to step outside their comfort zone. Mm. Once they do, like, magic can just happen.
And do you think that is because comparison is the thief of all joy, and we compare ourselves due to social media and the way we look at ourselves? Yes, from a coach, I need people to look at themselves in the mirror and go, I need to change. But with you, it sometimes has to come from within, or their mindset, not just how they visually see themselves or their health, right?
Yeah. I mean, that sentence, comparison is a thief of joy, is just so strong. I think more than ever with social media, it's so easy to wake up in the morning and see everyone from the other side of the world living their best life with all the highlights. And if you don't have those boundaries within yourself, like, it can ruin your day. If people are waking up and the first 5 seconds they're checking their phone, you're instantly going to look around you and think, well, I'm not in Barbados. Yeah. Living my best life. And then it can really sink your mood. So I think comparison is really strong. And I do try, and I think because the clients that I'm working with are really like working on themselves, it's easier to have that tunnel vision for like the direction that you're heading rather than looking at everyone else.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And yeah, okay. So on your Instagram, you discuss helping women kind of reclaim their identity. Can you talk to us about that a little bit more? Because I know you've obviously explained, but give me as much, you know, depth with that one.
Yeah, I think the word lost, a lot of people feel throughout life, like, everyone's going to feel lost at some point, whether you've lost a job or you wanted to get a job you didn't get and now you're thinking, what does the future look like? A breakup, a loss of somebody, any different areas in life that throw you a flip and you're like, okay, where do I go now? With me, it was a breakup, and then I was like, who am I? What does Lucy want? Like, what is my future? What are my likes? What are my dislikes? Like, and I kind of went on that journey. I think until you've experienced that feeling of feeling lost, which I know so many people do have, it's really difficult to explain, but just kind of feeling stuck and that you just don't know kind of who you are and what direction you want to head in. You just need that clarity.
So do you find that a lot of people that you work with lose their identity because they're in a relationship and maybe boundaries aren't set and healthy relationships aren't kind of built? And yeah, I mean,
originally it was always, I was like coaching kind of people that have post-relationship, and that was like, because you've had that codependency, and we tend to, a lot of people can like morph into each other, and you stop your hobbies and you stop that 10 minutes journaling that you used to do because now you want to watch Netflix instead. And I would always, like, you feel like you're lost without that person, and that's where it started, because that was kind of what it was like for me. But it's really important that you know that you're a full cup all on your own, and anyone else that comes into your life is just cream and marshmallows.
Yeah, no, I like that. It should be adding to your life.
Yeah.
I've always seen a partner as adding value to your life, not hindering you.
Yeah.
You know, you should want to grow together, develop and build together, instead of it being just, oh, you give me this or I give you that.
You make me worthy.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. You make me feel enough, which is what I used to get all the time. Like, they made me feel enough, and without them, it's just practicing self-love. And self-love is, God, there's so many different areas I can talk about self-love all day. And it's like, even goal setting and stepping outside your comfort zone is an act of self-love. It can be a cringy word, but there's so much, like, there's so much pillars to it. It's unbelievable.
I don't think self-love is cringy. I think when people are low, they need to appreciate who they are, what they have, what they bring to the table, and how they won't be there tomorrow. You know, you will always be moving forward.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love that, yeah. So, you can never go back. You can always...
Exactly.
With whatever lessons you've learned, you know, that's what you take on board, so...
What do you gain from looking back when everything's always in front of us?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so... Any advice on how to embrace the new year with positive mindset? I feel crazy saying new year. We're still in January.
I know, it's a long
lasted
one.
A long time.
2025.
Yeah, so anything on positive mindset? Obviously, I know you mentioned goal setting, but maybe let's go on positive mindset.
Yeah, so positive mindset and goal setting, they do come hand in hand. I think one of the key things that is being self-aware. We've all got that kind of voice on our shoulder that tells us we can't, that we're trying, they'll try and intercept, and that voice is just wanting to try and keep us safe, like where the comfort zone is. And you know, it's so much easier to sit and watch Netflix than it is to go and get your shoes on and go for a walk. So I think a lot of people want to stay in their comfort zone, but like I said before, that magic and that little stretch zone, the step outside your comfort zone is where it all happens. And I think just being aware of that negative, like, self-talk that's holding you back and trying to just shift it into more of a can-do mindset. There's that saying, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right. And we have to try and be our biggest cheerleader, and it is a daily practice. I know you do a lot of fitness, so your mind is a muscle too. You have to train it. You have to. I'm a life coach, but, you know, I still have days where I just don't feel motivated, and whether that voice is louder, it's about like creating the tools to deal with that.
Yeah, exactly. It's about having a toolbox, right?
Yeah.
I often say to new clients, people joining me, they're like, I'm like, how have you done today? And they're like, I've not done great. And I'm like, what's your screen time like?
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm not going to tell you. I'm like, so you have got time.
Yeah.
It's just your choice. And it's things we work on, obviously. We build off that.
Yeah, the excuses.
Yeah. And, you know, people are where they are because they make excuses, but they've made the first step by getting in contact with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting in contact with myself. That is the first step.
Which is always the hardest.
Changing your life. Exactly. Yeah. The first step is the hardest. Yeah. Why do you feel that people tend to revert back to a negative mindset? You know, how do you reprogram people's thinking? How do you get people, you know, maybe positive affirmation or words of affirmation from themselves or positive beliefs, you know?
Yeah, I think as humans, we are more negative. I think our body and our brain is wired from, you know, all those years ago when we were in like kind of fight or flight constantly, you know, when there was like, we were like afraid for our health, like bears and that kind of stuff, like all them years ago. We're still like in those same bodies. So I think like it's so easy for us to still be in that negative mindset. And like I said before, it's just a safety mechanism. Affirmations definitely work, and being aware of like that voice and really listening and reflecting back and thinking, what was the first thought I had today? Like, was I dreading the day, or was I thinking today is an endless day of opportunity? Like, you get to choose. And I think we give away our power so much. We think that like we can often play the victim and we think life's happening to us, but we need that reminder that actually we're in the driver's seat. Like, you can simply change that thought over and over again. And you know, there's a lot of like pathways in your brain. Like, I'm not going to go too much into that, but you can create new pathways, a new belief system where you actually do change your like negative beliefs to more positive ones. It's just, like I said, practice.
Yeah. Day one or one day, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, just start. It doesn't matter how you get on in the next
day. And it's always that first step. But I think if you make the first step something that's achievable and quite easy, you can create that evidence to show yourself that you can do it.
Yeah. And final one. Is there one piece of advice you wish you knew before you started life coaching?
Before I started life coaching?
Maybe something you'd tell your younger self.
Probably that, like, everything's always happening for a reason. My mantra was always, when I was going through a rough time, was like, trust the process. And I know that it's really difficult for people to hear that when they're in the thick of the storm. But you will look back, I promise you, and you'll realise that it was all happening for a reason.
Exactly. And final bit, where can we find you on socials?
So it's Lucy's Life Coaching on Instagram is my main platform.
Amazing. Lucy, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I will speak to you soon.
Yes, thank you very much.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to be moving on to listener questions. If you want to get involved, you can DM us at What The Health Show on Instagram. So Leo asks, do isometrics have value for strength and hypertrophy over just moving the muscle full ROM with weight? ROM stands for range of motion. So there is a lot of research being pumped in at the moment on the stretch response. So isometrics will help with certain levels of strength. Any sort of muscular activation will help in hypertrophy senses, obviously not as much as a muscle on full stretch. So let's use a pec fly, for example. Individuals can do an isometric hold if they have potentially a pec major or a pec tendinopathy. You can do an isometric hold with that, which will help with strength isometrically. But at the end of the day, you know, in answer to the question, hypertrophy is going to be stimulated more when there is a stretch. Okay, and there's a lot of science backing it at the moment. You need to make sure that your first rep does not look like your last two or three. They call it RIR, which is reps in reserve. You should probably have about two or three of them. That's super important, because if you are fatiguing your muscle too much all the time, you're also hindering growth, okay? Next, JB asks, how do you tell a good sore? I stress the muscle so that it grows back stronger versus a bad sore. Rest before you do bad damage. So I would probably say with this one, too much muscle soreness is anything more than about 72 hours. So think of it this way. You should be training each muscle group for maximum hypertrophy and strength gains twice a week. So every 72 hours, you should be revisiting that muscle. That is you getting in the maximum effort and the maximum work, which is super important. So if you're getting, if you're a beginner in the gym or you're a novice and you are with a coach, with a PT, and you are getting absolutely blasted and you're sore for 4, 5, 6 days, that is a negative response. There is too much lactic acid. There's too much of a negative byproduct. You need to do some sort of recovery to aid with that. Soft tissue is scientifically backed. Compression garments, 10 to 20% aid in recovery. Like, I used to give it to my professional athletes all the time. Compression stuff and compression garments are super, super important. Lulu asks, how far can you get in terms of fitness gains if you're super disciplined about working out but eating McDonald's afterwards? This is a fantastic question, because as a coach, I believe in flexi dieting. If your calorie intake is 2,000 calories and you want to eat 2,000 calories of McDonald's, but you get enough protein in, enough carbohydrates and enough fats, is it going to affect you? No. Because you're getting in the right macronutrients and you're getting in enough food. If you were to do it with chocolate, 2,000 calories of chocolate, you're going to be super watery. You're going to feel really sluggish, because macronutrients make you look good and micronutrients make you feel good. So you need the nutrient-dense foods to make you feel good. So yes, your fitness gains will go somewhere. And if you're doing it in a deficit, in theory, you will lose weight. Now, we want to lose body fat, not necessarily weight, because losing weight means that we're going to potentially lose muscle mass. And obviously, we all know how important muscle mass is. It's basically the pinnacle of health. The stronger we are, the better we are for longevity of life and so on, really. Next, we've got Isaac. Is intermittent fasting beneficial for weight loss? Yes, it is. And no, it isn't. Basically, how it works is intermittent fasting. There's loads of research on it. How good is the research? I'll be honest with you, I'm not too sure. But what I can say is all you're doing is reducing your calorie window. So if you're looking to lose weight, you're reducing your calorie window. So instead of going, I'm going to eat from 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, you're going to go from 12 o'clock until 8 o'clock, which means your window to get in food is smaller. And that means you're less likely to eat lots of food and stuff your face with rubbish or potentially treats, snacks, whatever it is. So yeah, in answer to your question, yes, it's beneficial because it reduces your calorie window. But no, it's not really that beneficial because, you know, if you can make it fit around your life and you can make it work, then, you know, that's perfect. And that is going to be it from me today, guys. So I just want to make a special and big thank you to our guests for their time. Massive thank you to Danny, Efren and Lucy for joining me on today's show of What the Health on FUBAR Radio. Remember, guys, you can download the app and listen each week to follow us on social media. All it is at What the Health Show on Instagram. Also, the show will be available to listen back on all good podcasting platforms. I just want to say a massive thank you from myself. I'm going to be back next week at 11 a.m. for another action-packed show. My name is Georges. Thank you for listening. Have a great day and goodbye.